The Power of the Sower, the Seed and the Soils, continued. Parva Press. Rocky, shallow soil. Those who hear, and yet in testing times, fall away. In the Holy Land, the soil depth is often very shallow, and such soil dries out all too easily. Matthew and Mark point us to the lack of soil depth. Luke, to the lack of moisture as it dries out. Despite a promising start in the early rains, seed corn falling on such soil will produce plants that are unable to withstand the drying heat of summer. It's an uncomfortable question, but can you think of those who were deeply moved by the Word of God and who, to all appearances, joyfully embrace the Christian faith, maybe with tears or with elation, and yet now are very far from the things of God? They believe for a while, but circumstances have not been easy. The going has been too tough. Faith has withered, and they've given up. There in the crowd, listening to the Lord, it would mean exactly the same. In John chapter 6, we read of whole sections of the crowd who'd been following Jesus, now finding it too hard. They could not bear the things he was saying, so drew back and no longer followed him. We read of Peter, who at Jesus' invitation enthusiastically began to walk on the water, and then doubted. The waves were too boisterous, and the challenge too great. Or Peter again, having professed utter loyalty after the Lord's arrest, faced a time of testing, and found himself denying his Lord with oaths. So importantly, and for our great encouragement, the example of Peter demonstrates that we can be one of these unproductive soils, and yet neither fixed as such, nor discarded by the Lord. We can be different soils at different times. The restored and forgiven Peter went on to be very fruitful indeed, but at that particular point he could well have been shallow ground. I certainly confess to having been very shallow soil. Embracing the gospel when 12 or 13 years old, our family moved the following year. New home, new town, new school, new church, none of which offered any real spiritual encouragement. For years I spiritually withered, until, on the point of spiritual extinction, by the goodness of God, someone watered me. Only by the grace and mercy of God could any of us stand, and it's good to acknowledge that. Sadly, we all know folk who would say of Christianity, "I know, I've been there and done that years ago." Yet now, in view of times of testing, the knocks and disappointments of life, or the sneers of ungodly folk around them, they would now consider themselves to have long outgrown the simple, childlike trust that true faith demands. Opposition or personal tragedy can bring this about, but so too can spiritual isolation within our own family or community, or years of isolation from true Christian fellowship and teaching. It may be that we've become involved in socially active yet spiritually arid churches, churches that offered teaching that has deflected us from that of the Lord and his apostles, and where true fellowship in the gospel was scarce or non-existence, and so faith has withered away because it had no moisture. Especially later in life, with decreasing mobility and the failure of sight and hearing, spiritual isolation can be quite desperate, as of course it can be for our fellow believers imprisoned for their faith. Only deeply rooted in his word and by the good hand of God can we come through times of testing such as these. It's always appropriate to rejoice when the Word of God is eagerly received, and yet it is sobering to reflect 10 years on any group of keen and enthusiastic people, to all appearances Christian, and see the proportion of them who have, for one reason or another, given up and fallen away. There's scope here for much fruitless debate as to whether a true disciple can fall away. Only God knows the secrets of our hearts, and the purpose of the parable is not to enable us to judge or categorize, let alone dismiss the early faith of others, but rather to give us insight into our own hearts standing before God. The Lord's parable shows us the challenges we face and stirs us to examine our own hearts, turn for forgiveness, amend our own way of living, and so guard our own reception of God's word and our own ongoing fruitfulness before him. So what of ourselves? It's good to remind ourselves that it's through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God, that there will be times of testing. For all kinds of reasons, testing and spiritually dry times will befall us, church leaders and people alike. There will be those who laugh and sneer, block our way, and make life difficult for us. There may be people who would actively persecute us, crush, imprison, and kill us and those we love. Even as I write, a great many of our fellow Christians around the world are suffering persecution as dreadful as that. In the light of this parable, and the many other warnings in Scripture, it is clear that we need to be prepared for such times of testing. If we're taken by surprise, they can easily deprive us of our joy in the Lord and our fruitfulness before Him. How can we be prepared? From the parable, the clear challenge is to make sure that our own faith is not shallow, carried along by the presence and with the encouragement of friends more godly than ourselves, a fair-weather faith that will not hold fast through testing, sad, or difficult days. Using the picture the parable sets before us, to be stable, strong, and fruitful, we need to let the Word of God in all its forms permeate and take root deeply in our lives. It is a lifelong process, and for it to happen, we do well to follow the early believers' pattern of devoting ourselves to the Apostles' teaching. For us, that must mean making it a priority to spend time prayerfully reading and meditating on the Word of God. Only then we will be able to hide in our hearts its promises, and know and take seriously the commands of the Word of God. We'll also be able to learn from the examples of Scripture, both from those who stood firm and from those who fell away, for the warnings are written there for our protection. We do well to guard a time of unhurried prayer in order to cultivate that close personal walk or abiding in Him spoken of by our Lord in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. Finally, but very importantly, we need to treasure true Christian fellowship and partnership in the Gospel so that we may support and encourage and pray for one another. For things such as these, it's difficult to find time in our busy lives, yet it's worth making time, perhaps very early in the morning, or on our feet as we walk, or arriving early for work before we begin. Every opportunity we make for the Word of God to permeate our lives, alone or in company with our fellow believers, will contribute to our being increasingly strongly rooted, and so able to withstand testing times and be fruitful. Thorny soil, those who hear, and yet as they go on their way are spiritually choked. Thorns, thistles, weeds, not the best or most promising place for seeds to fall. Yet, with the ancient practice of broadcast sowing, some of the seed would undoubtedly have landed in just such a situation. The potential for weeds to choke the good seed is always present, even on the best land, let alone at the field edges. The thorns that are particularly likely to overwhelm our fruitful walk with the Lord are named in the parable. Cares, riches, pleasures. Here are competing interests and loyalties that legitimately demand our attention, and yet, left unchecked, threaten to choke godly fruitfulness. It could be one great all-consuming and spiritually choking thorn bush, or a great number of small cares, concerns, and other interests. Among the crowd listening to the Lord Jesus, it seems to have been Judas's love for money that opened the way for the devil to tempt him and cause him to betray his Lord. His great desire for money blinded him to all else, gave the devil a foothold, and rendered that man's life fruitless. How many of us can think of friends who as teenagers or young adults received the word and promised great fruitfulness, and yet, in middle life, are totally absorbed in this world as they climb the career ladder, bring up a family, and work every possible hour to finance their chosen lifestyle. They're very busy indeed, but there is simply no opportunity, time, or emotional energy left pursuing godly priorities. The challenge of godly fruitfulness is smothered. They go on their way, preoccupied with the affairs and pleasures of this world, and sadly, their fruit does not mature. Fine, we've seen it in others, but have there not been times when we've been there ourselves? Here in this picture of the thorny patch is a constantly necessary warning. Could it happen to us? The trouble is that the weeds grow so slowly and steadily that they're quite unnoticed until, little by little, we're swamped by them. It can happen to us. It can be happening to us. Like Judas, could the desire for more money be our undoing? Or a thirst for power and influence? Or a hunger for self-indulgent pleasure? We do well to recognize our own frailty and the nature of the world in which we live. It offers the seeds of so many enticing thorns, which, if given the chance, take root and grow very vigorously. John Calvin calls us to recognize how inclined are our hearts to weeds, and how careless we are about weeding. We are enthusiastic about medical checkups. Perhaps we should be more enthusiastic about spiritual checkups. These might take the form of honest and private answers to a spiritual questionnaire, or, if invited to do so, an honest and godly friend might help us to spot a cluster of fruitfulness-reducing weeds we'd not noticed, or had simply assumed were just part of our current phase of life. Keeping alert the appearance of seedling thorns by regularly meditating on God's Word must offer us the best and most frequent use of our Heavenly Father's appointed weeding implement, or hoe. How can we make the legitimate concerns of this world take only their rightful proportion of our time, effort, and emotional energy? Only surely in our wealth creation, responsibilities, and pleasures, by determinedly seeking first our Heavenly Father's honour, His kingdom, and His will, by seeking first the kingdom of heaven. Good soil, those who hear, hold fast, and over time prove fruitful. Finally, the seed that fell on good ground, those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Here is the picture of ground that is fertile, well-watered, and weeded. Spiritually, it depicts people who bring a good and honest heart to the hearing of the word, people who are unprejudiced and willing to learn, people who have no other priority but to hear and embrace the word of God. They hear it, reflect on it, seek further insight into it, and put it into practice in day-by-day living. Having so taken hold of it, even though it's at the expense of the things of this world, they pray for strength to hold it fast through the challenges of life, the scoffing and the times of doubt. These are people whose lives are gradually changed as they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As they trust Him, submit to Him, walk with Him, and are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live and speak for Him. In the crowd of people listening to the Lord, who would be like that? After Pentecost, when Peter and John were arrested, the authorities were amazed by their holy boldness and wisdom, and noted that although in their eyes ignorant and unlearned men, Peter and John had been with Jesus. On the day of Pentecost itself, Peter had spoken with God-given clarity and power, and 3,000 turned, believed, and were baptized. On that day alone, the harvest yield was very great. Later, as Peter was led by God to proclaim the gospel in Cornelius's house, the harvest of God among the non-Jewish people was begun. Peter's ministry in those early days was dramatically fruitful. In more recent history, John and Charles Wesley, George Whitfield and Charles Spurgeon were each wonderfully fruitful in their generation, as was Billy Graham in the last century. Many others have been exceedingly fruitful. As Matthew and Mark record, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. For ourselves, the challenge of the good soil is to be receptive and fruitful ground. From the parable, that means being eager to hear and understand the word of God. It will mean being willing to turn and be healed, willing and eager to believe and be saved. It will mean receiving the Lord Jesus for the one He truly is, submitting to Him as the Son of God, and accepting His great work on the cross as essential for our acceptance before Almighty God. It will mean putting the Lord's commands and teaching into practice in our own lives. In company with our fellow Christians, it will mean being his willing servants, salt and light in our society and in our world. To be so, we are called to pray that he would fill us daily with his Holy Spirit, so we are able to be his ambassadors as we are out and about among friends, neighbours, colleagues and family. That may or may not lead to a recognised pastoral preaching or teaching ministry. I love that final expression, found only in Luke, bear fruit with patience. Here is nothing instant. It is like seed growing. It takes time, great patience and persistence, and even then the true harvest is not apparent until harvest time. Only then can it be accurately assessed, and only then by the Lord of the harvest himself. Conclusion. The sharp challenge of the parable is to ask, what kind of soil am I today? What kind of soil am I likely to be in 5 years' time? Do I have, and will I have, an open heart to turn and be forgiven? Do I now, and will I then, rejoice in the salvation of God? Will the gospel seed have been snatched away? Will the devil have stopped me believing and being saved? Will I have fallen away in difficult days because I have not let his word root deeply in my life? Will I have gone on my way, the things of this world smothering and choking my love for the things of God? Will I be found at the last to have played my part for the kingdom of heaven, been fruitful before the Lord God? All God's work in our lives, awakening us, keeping us, and enabling us to be fruitful, is of his goodness by his Holy Spirit and his living word active in our lives. And yet very clearly from this parable we have our part to play by hungering for these things, making time for them, welcoming them, and being actively receptive of them by letting God's word take root deeply in our thinking and be expressed in our day-by-day living and in our treatment of those about us, by keeping our lives well weeded before the Lord and constantly guarding godly priorities. In short, by seeking first the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, cause us, like the disciples, to hunger to understand and respond to the word you have sown. Cause us to see for ourselves where we stand before you. Fill us with the Holy Spirit of God, and stir us to joyfully hold fast your word, and steadfastly hunger, pray, and labour for fruitfulness before you.